Hi, and welcome back to Responsa Radio, where you ask and we answer questions of Jewish law in modern times.
Hi, Avi. Good to be back with you.
I am still Rabbi Avi Kilib, and here once again with Rabbi Ethan Tucker, who is Rosh Yeshiva at Machon Hadar, a center for higher Jewish learning based in New York City. So we've gotten really a whole wave of fascinating questions that I'm really excited to start to unpack together. So I think this is one of the most interesting and unique questions that we've received, but also probably has a much wider reach than just the narrow situation that the questioner is posing. Here's the question. With the ubiquity of cameras, most Jews probably cannot avoid being unintentionally photographed on Shabbat. Whether by walking in front of a security camera or dodging camera-wielding tourists on the street, is it permissible for a Jew to be photographed on Shabbat? Can a Jew pose for a photograph that a non-Jew takes on Shabbat? Must a Jew avoid certain situations, like maybe a political rally or an otherwise Shabbat-appropriate performance of some kind, where they face a greater chance of being photographed on Shabbat? Depending on the answers to these questions, this person wants to know, is the door open for non-Jews to be designated as in-shul photographers for Jewish celebrations that are taking place on Shabbat?
All right. Well, there's a lot of pieces there. Let's start with what's wrong with photography. Why is photography even a problem on Shabbat? And among the list of forbidden labors, one of them is kotev, the act of writing, which is one of many physically transformative and often commercially significant actions that are done on Shabbat. And associated with the category of kotev is the category of roshem, making some kind of drawing or leaving some kind of impression or imprint. So the Talmud Yerushalmi actually talks about someone who writes some kind of design on a wall. And even before that's been colored in, we might be talking about a fresco, we might be talking about something else. Once you've made that design, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that's a core violation of Shabbat under the rubric of kotev. So leaving any kind of permanent imprint or record that's meant to last is a form of writing or recording or preserving information in that way. And that gets codified, the Rambam and on, as a core violation of Shabbat. So any electronic image that has been deliberately recorded such that it would endure until actively deleted is a core Shabbat violation. So let's take the easy part of this question. You definitely can't have a Gentile appointed as a photographer for a Jewish event to photograph Jews on Shabbat, because the general principle is that even if it's someone not Jewish who is doing the malacha, the forbidden activity, if they're doing it for the benefit of, for the sake of someone Jewish, then there's an implied agency there at least, which makes it the Jew's responsibility to make sure that malacha is not done. And you certainly can't set someone up with that kind of responsibility. I would say, in addition, any photograph that's being taken that you have some interest in having a copy of and are thereby hoping that that person will take it, you certainly can't take part in a photograph like that on Shabbat.
And that's even being photographed as opposed to being the one who asked to initiate the photography?
Well, if you don't actually initiate it, then things can get somewhat more complicated. So let's say the easy case is where you tell someone or basically want them to be taking this picture of you. Let's get to a different case now. There's a very strong case to be made if we think about there being no agency, something like a security camera, or the tourist who pops out for whom you are just photobombing the background.
You don't want a copy of that picture afterwards?
I would think not. Anything like that. In that kind of situation, then there are many authorities that essentially say you do not have to worry about ending up in a photograph like that. And here's the logic, essentially. When you're walking in front of a camera that you have no intention of being photographed by, that is a classic case of a davar she'ino mitkaven, something which you are physically doing something on Shabbat, but you have no intention whatsoever that it happen. It's almost happening of its own accord. And that kind of action is generally permissible. You don't have to worry about unintended consequences of things that you do. And even though in this case, the photograph, let's say, will inevitably record your image if you don't move out of the way. And a lot of times we are strict with those cases. That's known as a psikratia, the idea that if the consequence will for sure happen, maybe you still have some responsibility to avoid it. This case is different because you are not actually doing anything. You are just walking. You are passing in front of the camera, or you are simply standing in place while someone else comes up and does something. You can't be accountable for something that you, A, don't want to happen, and B, that happens as a result of you walking down the street.
I imagine probably with security cameras and reporters, people may not even know that the camera's even there.
That's right. And this notion that actually going about your business is a kind of major exception to any kind of restrictions. There's an interesting parallel case in the Talmud that talks about this. The sages say that even though most animals can only be killed on Shabbat if they are actively attacking you, in other words, you're in some kind of act of self-defense, it is permissible to kill a snake or a scorpion on Shabbat as long as you do it while you're walking normally down the street. And the sense here seems to be that you can actually intend to kill a non-threatening snake or scorpion, at least at that moment, as long as you do it in a way that doesn't look or feel like a separate action. Now, later authorities, the Mishnah Brura among them, they say, well, you can only do that with dangerous animals, like a snake and a scorpion. For instance, he says, you can't intentionally step on ants while you're walking on your way on Shabbat. But that's still about an intentional action of wanting to kill the ant. Just walking somewhere is not really an action at all. And therefore, you don't have to worry you're walking by someone's driveway and a sensor may set off a light. That's not your problem. You're just crossing the street.
So it sounds like we've already established that security camera is not really a problem. But even within that, I wonder if there's also an angle, maybe the permanence or the lack of permanence of the tape. You know, perhaps it's streaming and broadcasting into the next room, but not actually being recorded for posterity. Would that matter?
Yeah. So if it's a completely ephemeral recording, like for instance, let's say it's something that goes on some kind of 8-hour loop, and unless someone comes in and asks for it to be saved, it will be taped over again. That's even a further basis for leniency, where you can say this was essentially a temporary recording, is only of a rabbinic level of concern, and then once it's completely unintentional, I don't necessarily have to worry about it at all, given that I'm not getting any benefit from it. I think increasingly, as we've developed more and more ways for storing enormous amounts of digital data, more and more of these things are actually being recorded for a long time, certainly for more than a day, which is the usual halachic cutoff for permanence or ephemeral nature. And I think you need a more robust defense of the notion of just walking down the street is simply not something you're accountable for. And that Talmudic precedent is useful in that regard.
I think the thing that comes to mind for me as a specific example is I've been in a show where, especially in the high holidays, they close circuit broadcast what was happening in the sanctuary to screen so that people sitting further back in a social hall could watch the service, which may not have been recorded at all. It may have been just broadcast from one place to another. Does that feel within this? That feels totally different from this? I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a great question. That raises all sorts of other things. Again, there you are sort of planning and setting it up in advance on some kind of timer, or you're just leaving it on the whole time. If you imagine that there's no recording happening whatsoever, and there's just an ephemeral broadcast, at that point, I think the issues that arise are essentially ones related to the kind of projection of sound in an amplified way that I think can be fairly extended to the projection of video displays in a different kind of visually amplified way. And there's some range of opinion on those matters. The general Ashkenazi approach to them has traditionally been to say, we don't do that on Shabbat. But in cases of great loss, we might be able to tolerate it. So you could imagine maybe in the context of something like a nursing home or to accommodate people who couldn't otherwise have any kind of connection, setting up something automated like that, you might have more room. There are obviously issues of the, you know, recording itself. Once you are making it intentional and you are intentionally trying to grab yourself on the screen, that already starts to become harder to claim that it is merely like the case of walking by a camera where you are not involved? And that's where we actually get, I think, to the more subtle question. And we could probably trade stories of times where this has come up. You're in some place on Shabbat and there's a group of people that want to take a picture. And maybe they're not Jewish, maybe some of them are Jewish. And the question is, how do I kind of interact in that social moment? Do I have a responsibility to step out of that frame? Put another way in technical terms, does agreeing to pose for a photo actually imply some kind of agency or action on my part that is essentially enabling this photograph to happen? So, I mean, let's talk about the case where the person's not Jewish who's taking the photo. And let's say that person is taking a photo of a group that includes you for their own purposes. They want some kind of memory of the event. You're part of the group and they want to snap a shot of that. So it really comes down to the question of, is being in the photo considered to be a problematic act of assisting the person in doing this milacha? Obviously, the photographer cares about the pose of the people being photographed. And in that sense, you could argue for a strict approach and saying, well, without you complying and taking your space and standing up tall and smiling, the photograph would not come out as it's intended to. But the pose, on the other hand, also really has nothing to do with the actual milacha itself, which is the snapping of the shutter on the camera, which is done with or without your assistance. And if you look at some of the rabbinic discussions of assisting in a problematic milacha, there is almost always a highly physical action involved to classify someone as in that status. For instance, there's a case in the Tosefta of one person holds a pen and the other person moves their hand and draws the letter. And that's considered an act of misayeya. They're actually an accessory to the milacha. But in general, there is a halachic principle that misayeya ein bo mamash, someone who merely provides some kind of auxiliary support to an action, is not considered to have done anything meaningful. So you have one interesting case in the Talmud around certain leniencies that are allowed on Yom Tov with respect to asking a Gentile to do various kinds of healing. For instance, they discuss a case of putting eye salve on one's eye, which is normally not allowed for a Jew to do on Yom Tov. And the Talmud says explicitly it's allowed to ask a Gentile to do that. And opening and closing your eye so that it's properly positioned for the salve to go on is considered a case of misayeya, and misayeya ein bo mamash. This is simply not significant enough assistance to be a problem. There's another potentially interesting conflicting source. Deals with a woman who wants to go to the mikvah on Friday night, and she has not yet cut her fingernails. And she wants to cut them before immersing so that she can be, you know, down to the bare essentials. And the question is whether a Gentile can cut her nails for her on Shabbat. And the Taz, in commenting on that case, Rav David Halevi, says, well, you're not allowed to do it because just by positioning your hand in a way that will make it possible for the nail clipping to be done correctly, you have essentially participated in that milacha. But most later authorities reject that position and say that's not a significant enough physical act to count as being anything problematic. So my own view on this is I think it's better to just kind of have a transparent policy of I'm Sabbath observant, I'm not photographed on Shabbat, happy to take a shot with you on Saturday night. But in the case of someone who is not Jewish who's taking a photo like that, I don't think you need to make a whole ruckus when that person is photographing a group of people and wants a memory of you as part of it to do some kind of disruptive, demonstrative leaving of the frame because of that principle, misayeya ein bo mamash.
My instinct would be that being part of a group of people makes it feel even less mamash to me, even like it's even less significant than if it was just one person posing individually for a picture.
So I would say when you're part of a group, you are still very important to the photo. And I'm not sure it looks any different in terms of this question of misayeya and assisting in the act. But what it is very different for is when you're in a group, it's very clear that the act is not being done for you specifically. Whereas when it's a one-on-one, yeah, maybe the person says that they're doing it for themselves, but that feels almost a little more like we're agreeing to take this photo together and I'm posing and you're snapping it. Now, if the photographer is a Jew, in theory, you could make some of these similar arguments of, well, I'm not really doing anything, and whatever I think about their Shabbat observance, I'm not working that out in this moment. But it feels problematic to me to blur lines around observance in that regard and to successfully maintain some kind of sharp separation between I, the Jew, who is observing a restriction around this, and you, the Jew, who is not observing a restriction around it. And a lot of times in relationships like that, it's actually important to have some clear lines of this is something that I do and something that I don't do. I would say in an extreme case of family strife, I could imagine claiming that the passive involvement in the photo is simply insignificant. And whatever issues of propriety and, you know, problematic appearance are raised by being an accessory to a Jew taking a photo on Shabbat might be overridden by the larger strife that would occur. But I'd be very hesitant to not draw a clear boundary of I don't get photographed on Shabbat unless it were absolutely necessary.
It's that last point that you're raising that I think is the last angle that I'm curious to hear about, which is the appearance of how something looks, that I wonder, I think my own personal instinct would be to feel differently if I was being photographed in a picture in someone's home where there was no evidence of what day the picture was taken versus a picture of me, you know, in a shul or at an event that somehow everyone will know that this picture was taken on Shabbat. I'm curious if that should play in halachically.
Yeah, it's a great question. I've actually thought about this a lot. There's a really interesting analog in the Tosefta and a few other parallel Tanaitic sources, how to relate to the products of forbidden labor on Shabbat. And there's all kinds of broad debates about that, but let's say with respect to cooking food, there's lots of opinions that think, well, once Shabbat is over, then it's totally fine to eat that food. But an interesting exception is a plant that was planted on Shabbat must be uprooted. And I think the idea there is you knowing that that plant was planted on Shabbat will forever associate that with a kind of indelible memory of Shabbat violation, and therefore you got to uproot it and replant it.
So once you put that picture on your mantle, even if nobody else knows, you know.
Yeah, and it could be that that's really different. I think about this sometimes with pictures in the paper that you can see and know were taken on Shabbat, and they appear, let's say, in Haaretz or some Israeli newspaper. I've sometimes felt uncomfortable looking at pictures like that because I am on some level relying in a very public and obvious way on someone having made a choice to photograph something that I wouldn't have, you know, decided to photograph, and that image would have been unavailable to me. So I think that is another factor.
Great, thanks. Sponsor Radio is a project of the Center for Jewish Law and Values at Machon Hadar and is produced by Jewish Public Media, which creates, curates, and promotes excellent Jewish content and is funded in part by Next and Natan. If you have a halachic question you'd like answered on the show, email us at halacha@machonhadar.org. You can also leave us a voicemail at 215-297-4254.